The Packers and Cowboys have arrived at the final quarter of the season.
This is big time football. Football is different this time of year, let's be honest.
At 8-4, Coach McCarthy has the Packers in position to win their fifth straight division title, as long as they can hold off a surge from the Minnesota Vikings.
Everybody's playing for something. Everybody has an idea what they need to get done to get to where they want to go.
The Dallas Cowboys are battling through some of the worst luck imaginable. They've lost Tony Romo not once, but twice this season. Despite the adversity at 4-8, the Cowboys are still very much a threat to win the NFC East.
Dallas is going to be on high alert, high urgency. We're going to be on high alert, high urgency. I mean, this will be a hell of a football game.
Packers Today, presented by Verizon, starts right now.
We want to be playing our best football down the stretch here, and that starts this weekend.
You need to be playing your best ball and carry that momentum into the playoffs.
Everybody's playing for something, so we got to bring it.
Welcome and thank you for joining us on Packers Today. I'm Lauren Majera, joined by Larry McCarron. Now, football in December is always a really fun time in Green Bay. Larry, what do you love about this time of year?
That the Packers win. Under Mike McCarthy, get this, they are 27-12 in the month of December. So when your life revolves around the Packers season, those are good times.
Now, a lot of football has already been played. Obviously, we're in December, but is it possible for a team to change over this stretch?
Well, I think what happens is you get some dividends from what you've been doing all season long. Like the Packers work on fundamentals from day one up until December. Fundamentals, use them or lose them. And now when the weather turns a bit and so forth, the fundamentals, you know, stopping the run, running the football, those things matter even more. And I think the Packers just earned the dividends of their hard work all season.
All right, we're going to get into some headlines, but first, we'll start with the Thursday night matchup between the Vikings and the Cardinals, a game that had plenty of intrigue for Packers fans especially.
We pick it up late in the fourth quarter, game tied up at 20 until Chandler Catanzaro connects from 47 yards out, but the Cardinals ahead 23-20. Time winding down on Teddy Bridgewater and the Vikings, he finds Jarius Wright for 22 yards to put the Vikings on the edge of field goal range. 3rd and 10, Vikings out of timeouts, trying to get a little closer, but 14-year veteran Dwight Freeney comes off the edge and seals the victory for the Cardinals with a strip sack of Teddy Bridgewater. Vikings drop their second straight game and have now lost 3 of their last 4. Cardinals steal the victory, their 11th of the season, and a guaranteed spot in the playoffs. With the Vikings loss, the Packers, by virtue of the tie break, will remain atop the NFC North standings regardless of today's outcome against the Cowboys. The Bears at 5-7 play host to the Redskins, who currently lead the NFC East with a record of 5-7. The Lions at 4-8 are in St. Louis for a matchup with the Rams at noon.
We know what's at stake in terms of the NFC North. Now let's focus on the Packers. Larry, last week against the Detroit Lions, Eddie Lacy's role was limited due to a curfew violation. Now we spoke with him in the locker room, and he seems to have moved past it and owned up to his mistake. Is it possible for it to be that easily left behind?
Well, I think both sides have left it behind. Him and Mike McCarthy had a meeting of the minds, got things squared away. And I really think the Green Bay Packers need Eddie Lacy to play like Eddie Lacy to make this December special, as per usual. And I think they're going to saddle up Eddie and ride him as far as he can take him. John Crockett provided some real nice energy in the Detroit game, but I still think Eddie Lacy is a guy and the Packers need him, and it sounds like he's ready to be that guy.
Now, given the way that that Lions game ended, is it safe for us to be optimistic and looking forward? I want it to have some carryover effect to that Packers offense.
Well, Lauren, we'll see. I mean, you'd certainly hope so, but I think you got to broaden it out a little bit. In the second half of the Lion game, the Packers had 5 possessions. They scored touchdowns on 4 of them. Now, if that can't get an offense untracked, I don't know what can. So hopefully it will have some carryover, not only the play, but the plays that preceded that. Speaking of which, with 2:11 to play, the Lions led 23-21, and they had a 1st and 10 at their own 47. The Packers needed the ball back like now.
First down, Morgan Burnett is lined up in the box. By attacking the line of scrimmage, he beats the block of Eric Ebron, then stuffs Joyke Bell for no gain. Second down, the Lions have two blockers for Mike Daniels. Two is not enough. He splits the double team, flattens out, and drops Bell for a loss of two. Third down, Daniels takes away one side and three blockers. Julius Peppers the other side, and Bell, three runs for minus 3 yards. The Lions are punting, and the rest is history.
You made quite a statement individually, and you guys made a statement collectively.
Yeah, that. You know I'm not going to give up, and you know this defense won't give up, and that's just how it is. And seeing what the offense did, you know this team won't give up.
Lauren, that player has really hit his stride. Every game, it seems like he makes several disruptive plays. I mean, it's consistently, and I think he's having a terrific season.
You know, I love watching Mike Daniels play because he's so entertaining to watch.
Oh, that guy is the real deal now. He's all football.
I agree. Linebacker Jake Ryan got his first start a week ago. How do you think the coaches feel about his progress as such a young player?
Lauren, I think that's the key word. He's a work in progress. He's a rookie. Doesn't have a lot of experience, and I think that showed early in the line game. But as it wore on, he got more snaps. You could see those instincts come into play. And he's got a nose for the football. He shows up.
Still to come, despite the troubles the Cowboys have faced, there's still a team just one game out of the division lead in the NFC East. Larry and I break down today's opponent next on Packers Today. And later, the play tweeted around the world, an inside look at the impact the Motor City Miracle had on the social stratosphere. As we head to break, here's a look at the NFC and AFC playoff picture heading into play today. We'll be right back.
Looking, lost the left sidelines, and it is caught by Dez Bryant. My goodness.
Mike McCarthy throwing the challenge flag.
Did he maintain control all the way down?
That was a confident challenge.
The ball may have come loose a little bit as he hit the deck.
And a hopeful one, too.
Hope and a prayer to get this thing overturned.
After review, the receiver did not maintain possession.
Wow! Prayer answered!
Today's game will mark the 33rd meeting between the Packers and the Cowboys. Green Bay has won four straight against Dallas, including last season's 26-21 playoff victory here at Lambeau Field. For a preview of what's in store when these two teams meet today, here's Larry with this week's scouting report presented by the Better Business Bureau.
DeMarco Murray, gone. Tony Romo, out. This is not near the Cowboy offense the Packers saw last January, and it's got a bottom five ranking in both yards and points to prove it.
The quarterback position obviously is the most important position on the football field, in my opinion. So it does make you adjust, change, and go in some different directions. So it's a big challenge when you lose your starter.
The Cowboys' new starter, Matt Cassel, has been with five teams over 11 years and is a journeyman in every sense of the word. He's still got Dez Bryant to throw to, but following early season foot surgery, he has just 26 catches and two touchdowns over seven games.
It's Dez Bryant. He's a guy who's been in this league. He's proven in this league as well. So you still can't take none away. Numbers, yeah, they might be down, but at the end of the day, he can play ball, and that's all that matters.
Jason Witten can still get open over the middle. Darren McFadden is a decent back, and Tyron Smith an elite left tackle. But the strength of the Cowboys is their defense. They have an active front four capable of running wicked stunts. Their back end boasts a pair of players with first-round pedigrees and a tackling machine in safety Barry Church. And the heart and soul of it all, linebacker Sean Lee.
Lee's got it. Sean Lee blitzed in second. The defense came to play tonight.
Their defense plays very tough, very physical. They got a bunch of big hitters. Sean Lee, you look at him, he's playing sideline to sideline, making plays. They get after the quarterback. They do a lot of good things well.
But perhaps the best thing the Cowboys have going for them is hope.
The kick's away! Bailey! Yes!
At 4-8, they're just a game out in the NFC East.
They're in it, so that's all you can ask for, you know, for them as a group, and so they're going to be playing hard. What, you wouldn't say 4-8? It's crazy, but it's the NFL.
Tight end Jason Witten has no doubt had a career worthy of ending up in Canton, Ohio at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Today, Jason will play in his 200th consecutive game, becoming the first Cowboys player in history to reach that milestone. With 5 receiving yards, Jason will also pass receiver Chad Johnson for 31st in the NFL's all-time receiving list. Now, Larry, Jason Witten has been a prolific pass catcher for the Cowboys, and he's been able to do that for a really long time.
Yeah, 13 seasons, and I think your Hall of Fame mention is very accurate. And at this point in his career, Jason Witten is not going to beat you down the seam deep, hopefully. Yeah. I hope I don't live to regret that statement. But he's still got a knack for bouncing around the middle, getting open, and his hands are a sure bet. I think he's like Matt Castle's security blanket.
Clay Matthews specifically said in the locker room the other day, just because they're without their starting quarterback of Tony Romo doesn't mean they're going to roll over. This is still going to be a very competitive game. So what head-to-head matchups are you looking for?
No, Dallas still has some very talented players, and one of them is their left tackle, Tyron Smith. I mean, this guy does it classically, like the Anthony Munozes of the world did it. I mean, he is really a special player. And this won't be a game-long head-to-head matchup, but occasionally Clay Matthews will be rushing the passer against Smith. And if you want to talk about two of the game's best meeting head-to-head in Mortal Kombat, that's it.
And take a look at this Dallas defense. For as good as they've been, they haven't necessarily been opportunistic.
Lauren, it is amazing. Dallas' defense last in the league in takeaways, only 8 all season. And they are a good defense. They're 5th in yardage given up. They're a good defense. I asked some of the guys in the locker room, how do you figure this out? And nobody really has a good answer. Just maybe one of those things. But let's hope it continues. But they are dead last in taking the ball away.
Coming up next, engaging socially with one of the year's biggest plays. It was a jaw-dropping moment that provided eye-popping numbers on Twitter and Facebook. We talk with Packers social media guru Ryan Hartwig when Packers Today returns. Welcome back. You're watching Packers Today, presented by Verizon.
One last untimed play. This is an all or nothing. Snap to Rodgers. Under pressure, rolling right, escapes. Rainbows high and deep, and it is caught. Caught for a touchdown.
Unbelievable.
A rainbow of a prayer, and it came up golden for Green Bay. The Packers have won.
I don't care how many times I get to see that play. I am never going to get sick of it. It was so exciting. Welcome back to Packers Today. I'm Lauren Majera, and joined with me is Packers content developer Ryan Hartwig. Now, one of Ryan's many responsibilities with the Packers is connecting with you, the fans, across all of the Packers social media platforms. And how many accounts really is that all put together?
It's quite a few of them. For our main Packers accounts, we focus on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and Vine, a lot of the ones that social media users are familiar with. We also also have other accounts for Lambeau Field, the Packers Pro Shop, Packers Everywhere, different accounts like that. So there's quite a few different ones.
When a game ends the way that the Packers-Lions game did, what goes through your head? Because I'm sure you're about to set your computer on fire with how fast your fingers were working.
Yeah, after the initial shock kind of set in that he actually caught it, it was kind of back to business as usual. We had all different score graphics prepped for the final score based on what might have happened. So we're just, you know, pushing out the best content. Fans want to celebrate at that time. They want to see the highlight right afterwards. So we're at that point, it's back to kind of business as usual and getting that best content out that's going to kind of help the fans celebrate along with the team.
Now, I think one of the coolest aspects about social media is it provides an immediate outlet for everyone to kind of connect and for everyone to go berserk together no matter what side of it you're on. Can you kind of paint a picture for me exactly what happened and what was going on right after that play?
Yeah, right as the play happened, right after it, in the few minutes following the Hail Mary, there were actually 50,000 tweets per minute.
50,000?
50,000. Wow. And so fans were obviously locked in, celebrating, you know, both celebrating and probably angry, depending on what side you're on. But so anyone that was reacting to it on Twitter, yeah, 50,000 per minute.
I know after I'm watching a big game or a huge play happens, I know personally I like to go on Twitter and Facebook and kind of troll for funny memes, but I'm sure what you do is a lot more professional. But what do you find most intriguing, and can you crunch those numbers for us?
Yeah, for us, after a play like that, we were looking to really get the highlight out as quickly as possible. So within just a couple minutes after the play happened, we were able to get the highlight on our Twitter account. It was seen over a million times, did really well from an engagement standpoint, about 15,000 retweets, which was a huge number. And then other things that we look for that were kind of interesting are just our players' reactions. They'll go on and tweet celebratory tweets and thank the fans, and we'll retweet a lot of our players. So a lot of things like that. And then, for instance, on our Facebook page, we have about 5 million likes, but we actually were able to reach about 35 million people within the days surrounding the game because of how many people were sharing it and just how viral, you know, the play and that win went.
Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time to join us, and thank you for managing all the social media accounts during that Motor City Miracle.
Thanks. It was a lot of fun and definitely a collective effort by our whole digital and social team to pull it off.
Well, very good teamwork. Coming up next, Packer great Marco Rivera recalls what made the 2003 offensive line so special in this week's Alumni Spotlight. Packers Today is back after this timeout.
I think we had a good relationship with all five guys. I mean, we just meshed really well. Plus, we played a long time together. We had Chad Clifton, our left tackle, who to me was one of the better pass protectors that I've ever seen. Then you have Mike Wall. He was probably the athletic guy in the group, very smart player. Mike Flanagan, very athletic center, very quick. Then you had me. I was kind of considered like the hard-nosed battler, kind of just like to mix it up. You know, and then we have Mark Tauscher, the local boy who did great. We're all different, but we all kind of had the same goal. When you start adding days and practices and games, at the end of the year, you're like, wow, we did something special.
Alumni Spotlight built by Tundraland. That 2003 offensive line put up some impressive numbers. For starters, they hold the Packers record for most yards rushing in a season and also the highest average per rushing attempt. In the same season, the Packers scored 442 points, and the O-line surrendered just 19 sacks. Both are fifth best in team history. Amon Green had his finest season as a pro in 2003 as he rushed for more than 1,800 yards. So I want to know what stood out to you specifically about that offensive line.
Two things, Lauren. They all had ability, and they all had the right attitude. They came to play each and every Sunday, and they played with a little nastiness to them. And the interesting thing about that running game, it's different than the Packers' current zone game, predominantly zone game. Back then, it was more of a power game. Block down, kick out, lead through, and they did it very well.
Wrapping up here, Dallas has had a difficult season, but they're still in the hunt, so no doubt they're going to show up hungry. However, the Packers are coming off a long week, so I think a rested Packers team is a dangerous Packers team.
I'm all for it, Lauren. That's very good analysis right there. I think a big thing for the Green Bay Packers is their offense has got to continue what we saw in the second half of the Lion game. That was the Packer offense we want to get back to, and it's going to come against a good Dallas defense. We talked about it. They don't take the ball away, but they slow people down. So that's a key matchup on the big picture scale.
Okay, thanks, Larry. Be sure to check out Packers.com immediately following today's game for live press conferences, Larry's one-on-one with Coach McCarthy, plus all of your post-game stories and sound from the locker room. For Larry McCarron, I'm Lauren Majera. Thank you for watching Packers Today, presented by Verizon.